When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I appreciate all of you hanging out with me. I hope you are having a fantastic Thursday wherever you may be across this great country or this great land. We have got a lot to dive into, but I want to give you a chance to make free money. $5 bet returns you $150. All you have to do is pick the winner. Is it going to be Conor McGregor or Poirier, or however you pronounce his name? The UFC fight that is going on this weekend. I obviously am not a UFC spectacular knowledge genius, but I do know that a $5 bet to return you $150 is an incredible value. Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia, Colorado, Tennessee, Michigan, Virginia, among others, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, all those states, you bet $5, you win back $150. There's also a lot of other states that are about to go live. Why wouldn't you go ahead and sign up? All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Clay. That is FanDuel.com/Clay. FanDuel.com/Clay. Want to thank all of you for the podcast support. We have got the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I just checking the numbers. Number 5 news podcast in the country, and this show, just on podcast, obviously a lot of you watch it on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, this show just on podcast, Outkick the Show, now is in the top 20. So I've got a top 20 sports podcast and a top 5 news podcast. That seems like a pretty good combo going on right now. I appreciate all your support. Want to especially say thanks to everybody out there in the YouTube community. Our show on YouTube is growing like gangbusters. I appreciate all of you and all of the support that you are showing for our programs. Encourage you to go check us out, sign up, subscribe, rate. I'll start reading some of the reviews on Outkick the Show live on this program. If you go give us 5 stars, write a smart or witty review for the Outkick program, also for the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We're going to be reading those live on the radio, but Outkick the Show, I will read some of the best reviews live on this program. If you go review us, go give us 5 stars, make me laugh, say something smart, witty, original. The people who are doing the best smart, witty originals, how about you guys on YouTube? Encourage you guys to continue to comment away. I will also read some of the funny comments from YouTube. Going to start featuring that more as a part of the show. Thanks also, obviously, to everybody watching on Facebook and on Twitter as well. All right, I told you, it's a foregone conclusion. It's a certainty. If you get woke in the world of sports and you are a sports league, you end up going broke, and that's what's happened with the NBA. They narrowly managed to avoid an all-time low NBA Finals Game 1 rating. In the bubble last year, they posted a tiny number. They managed to just get over the hurdle of that tiny number in Game 1 on Tuesday of the Bucks going up against the Suns. Now, why is this happening? Why are NBA ratings down so massively at a time when most other sports leagues have recovered in a pretty substantial way? It's because the league went broke, because they went woke. This is not difficult to understand. They wrote Black Lives Matter on the basketball court. They put social justice warrior slogans on their jerseys. They told you that you were an awful human being if you were voting Republican or you supported Donald Trump, which many, believe it or not, NBA fans were doing. And as a result, the number of viewers is the lowest it's ever been for a summer NBA Finals that we've ever seen in any of our lives. And I just don't know how it's going to recover unless we get in some way a full-on apology from the NBA for all the people that they insulted as a part of their woke politics embrace. And the data Let me go ahead and give it to you because some people are going to want to know the data. By the way, they're playing with skewed numbers in their favor, which I think is actually worth pointing out because it's a fairly significant storyline here. They're playing with skewed numbers in their favor because they're getting out-of-home viewing now, which they never got before. And this is something that's not getting a lot of attention, but it's increasing overall viewership by around 10%. But it used to be if you were in a bar, if you're in a restaurant, if you're in a hotel room, your viewership of sports or television didn't count. Now it does. Game one of the NBA Finals averaged 8.5 million viewers. It aired on ABC, so it's free for everybody out there who's like, well, I don't watch it on cable anymore. Oh, this goes to cable. Okay, it's on ABC. It's free. Free television, 8.5 million viewers. That's down 35% versus 2019, which is the last time we had a NBA Finals taking place in the summer. And that was the Golden State Warriors going up against the Raptors. And remember, you don't count viewership in Canada. So it's down all the way a full 50% compared to game one of the last time we had two United States-based NBA teams in the playoffs. These are catastrophic decline. This is an unmitigated disaster for the NBA. Last year, lowest ever. This year may narrowly avoid being the lowest rated ever. We don't know exactly how it's going to pan out. But this is pretty wild to think about. And there were only 7.5 million who watched last year in the bubble. So there wasn't very much of a difference this year compared to last year. Because everybody wanted to say, oh, well, that happened in a bubble. You can't consider those ratings. That's what all of the NBA stands out there said. They said, hey, when it's going on in the summer, it'll be back to normal. There's no real competition out there right now for the NBA in terms of sports viewership. The NBA, the Stanley Cup Finals are over. Major League Baseball, middle part of the season, never really that many people watching in general. And I think this is important. 20 and 21 include out-of-house viewing, which is giving around a 10% bump. So actually, the numbers are even lower if you compare them to past years. They're getting a 10% bump, and they're still down 50%. Now, I'm curious what the Mark Cubans of the world will say about the NBA now for two straight years after going insanely political, having their overall audience collapse. This is, I believe, a direct reflection of LeBron James destroying, in the space of a few years, and his leadership driving this league, the work that Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Michael Jordan did to make the NBA so appealing to everyone. You want to talk about an unbelievable collapse. 1998, Michael Jordan era Bulls. 30 million people watched the Jordan era Bulls in a universe of 50 million less people in the United States. We're roughly getting 25% of the audience now watching the NBA as was watching in 1998 in the heyday of Michael Jordan and in the heyday of the NBA. I'll tell you this, if the NFL ever had its audience drop 50%, there would be a five-alarm fire. The NBA, it's happening, and all of the stands in the NBA media, the Blue Checkmark Brigade members, the ones out there convinced that Maria Taylor is a horrible victim of Rachel Nichols, they aren't talking about these numbers because they can't explain them because my narrative is true. The NBA's embrace of left-wing politics has alienated around half of their audience, and that audience has abandoned them to go do other things. And I don't know how they get this audience back. There are a lot of people who may have been lifelong NBA fans that have waved sayonara to this league. And I don't know what they can do to get them back. Maybe it's as simple as the LeBron Jameses of the world need to shuffle off the NBA stage, and they're going to have to find new leaders in the NBA universe who are much less political and will go back to embracing the Jordan and the Larry Bird and the Magic Johnson era to try to rebuild what they have lost. but this is significant. These are the facts. This is the data that I'm presenting to you 100% unvarnished. Anybody who wants to explain why this is happening is going to have to go in and list a long litany of reasons. There's no doubt the NBA has suffered a massive blow, and I think the only real explanation for it at this point in time is politics has alienated a massive part of their audience. By the way, speaking of what might happen with the Olympics, I think there's a decent chance that the Olympics is going to go so political that NBC is going to end up losing a lot of money because so many athletes are going to want to make political statements and a lot of people are going to toss up the deuces and walk out and decide to spend their time doing something else. It's a fascinating thing to think about what exactly is going on there. But the Olympics has announced, because of major issues that are going on in Japan, they are going to play with no fans present for the entirety of the Olympic Games, which begin on July 23rd. Now, a lot of you out there may be kind of raising your hand and saying, boy, this seems like it may be a substantial and massive related issue. And I agree with you. I think it probably is. What exactly is going on here with Japan? Remember when all the woke media out there were talking about the reason why Japan had no COVID issues was because they masked and did such an amazing job of masking? What do you know? Suddenly Japan has a surging rate of COVID infection such that they are allowing no fans to be present. This is happening, by the way, all over the world. And that's because, frankly, the data reflects, I think pretty clearly, that masking is mostly cosmetic theater. And that COVID, the virus is gonna virus. I had COVID, zero issues with it. My wife had COVID, zero issues with it. And I think there are 100 million, maybe more people in the United States who also have had COVID. If you are relatively young and you are relatively healthy and you're not morbidly obese and you don't have a ton of other comorbidities, then COVID had almost zero impact on you. It wasn't much different than a general cold. This is, I think, going to be a major issue for the Olympics in Japan. This is hoping that they're going to find a way to get the Olympics done and that they're not going to end up having to cancel things before all is said and done here. But again, the Olympics, the Corona Bros are going to be ecstatic. The Olympics are going to have no fans present in Japan. It's a big story. We started off the show, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, discussing the Tucker Carlson NSA-related issues. And it seems quite clear that the NSA is spying on Tucker Carlson. This is a big deal, okay? This shouldn't be political in nature, because whether you like Tucker Carlson or not, the idea that the United States government is spying on citizens, the NSA, inside of our country, based on who they are communicating with, without any evidence to do that, and potentially unmasking him as well, is a major, major issue. Instead of talking about Tucker Carlson, let me take a step back and just say this. How would the media have covered this story if Rachel Maddow had gone on MSNBC? Rachel Maddow is the most popular person on television on MSNBC. If Rachel Maddow had gone on MSNBC, and if she had said, the NSA is targeting me during the Donald Trump administration based on text messages and emails that she was sending, how do you think the New York Times, the Washington Post, MSNBC, and CNN would have covered that issue? It would have been their lead story, front page news everywhere. Congress would have gotten involved. That's because the idea that the government is surveilling, spying on, a member of the media who has a substantial audience in this country, to me, flies in the face of everything the First Amendment should represent and also everything that our spy agency should be doing. Yet that is exactly what is happening to Tucker Carlson. Axios had a good report on it. They have access to his emails. It appears to be connected to an attempt to get Vladimir Putin an interview scheduled with Vladimir Putin, which, by the way, has happened for a lot of different U.S. media organizations in the past. No one's asking questions. How did Tucker Carlson get unmasked as a part of these communications? Who made that request? Why are they sharing information from his email and text message threads? And why does he have to get a tip from somebody inside of the spy agency to let him know what is going on and the fact that he is being surveilled? Now, these are all big questions. I think they call for an investigation, frankly, in Congress. I want to know if somebody at the NSA is tapped into my phone. I want to know if the United States government is in any way surveilling people like me. I got the biggest radio show in the country, Buck Sexton and I do. Are they paying attention to who we might be texting to try to get on the show? Are they paying attention to the messages that we are sending around the country? This is something that I think everybody should care about. Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever your background is, the idea that Tucker Carlson, who has the most popular television program in the country, based on the number of viewers that tune in every single night to watch him, right up there with Sean Hannity, the idea that the Biden administration spy agencies could be checking to see what Tucker Carlson is saying or doing flies in the face of a free speech, is what totalitarian governments would do. It's a major story, and it deserves, in my opinion, a major investigation. And the fact that it's not happening is not going to surprise any of you. But the fact that it has become political as opposed to actually making the right decision, we are once more making the political decision as it pertains to what might be going on in this scenario. A couple of other things that I think are significant I'm going to get to, but first I have to make sure, let me see if I can find my reads here, to tell you about my Dr. Hank. You know, the simple truth is, and let me just see if I type in whether that is going to make it easy to find this read. The simple truth is this. You and me probably don't need this, but there's a lot of people who work at ESPN whose penises don't work. We know this is true, but I've got a solution for the people at ESPN whose penises don't work. Erectile dysfunction affects over half of all men, and so if you don't want to feel like half of a man, you can go to My Dr. Hank. Since 2017, My Dr. Hank, even for ESPN employees, he's been making America hard again. My Dr. Hank helps you get low-cost ED meds and overcome the psychological and emotional barriers to getting ED treatment. They secure your prescription, ship it to you discreetly every month from U.S. pharmacies, all for as low as $2 a pill. So don't wait. Join the movement to make America hard again. Go to mydrhank.com/clay and sign up today. Tell Dr. Hank I sent you and he'll give you 50% off your first subscription order. That's mydrhank.com/clay. Offer available for only a limited time. mydrhank.com. Get hooked up today. ESPN, I'll get your penises fixed. All you have to do is go to mydrhank.com/clay. Tampa Bay Lightning. Look, this is what happens. Tom Brady goes down to Tampa Bay. He becomes a Florida man. And now the city can't stop winning championships. The Lightning win in October. They come back around and they win again last night in July. The Tampa Bay Lightning, two titles in the Stanley Cup. And now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the favorites right behind the Kansas City Chiefs to potentially go win another championship with Tom Brady. Tampa Bay is a championship town. Brady going for his 11th Super Bowl trip and his 8th different title in this offseason. And now he can get all fired up because Aaron Rodgers crushed him in the match, and Brady feels like he has something he needs to prove in the game of golf. It's kind of funny when you saw them both throwing the football back and forth, and then Brady said that right now Aaron Rodgers was the leader of the Packers. He thinks this is a story, certainly, that is going to be worth following, but props to the Tampa Bay Lightning for getting their second title and the city of Tampa Bay for being on fire. Remember, the Tampa Bay Rays also went to the World Series this past season. They lost to the Dodgers, but they at least made it to the World Series. Finally, I don't know how many of you are following this story, but the Haiti president being assassinated inside of his house, there's video of the raid that happened. I know Haiti is a perpetually, in the Western Hemisphere, the poorest country, the one that is in straits of perpetual conflict and subterfuge and uncertainty as to the leadership of that country. But even still, the idea that six people, according to authorities down there, that six people could get into the president of Haiti's house and assassinate him there. His wife was also seriously wounded. She now is in a Miami area hospital. They have brought her to the United States. But the fact that in the middle of the night, six people could storm the president's house in Haiti and assassinate the president is terrifying, that it would only take six people in order to make that a reality is pretty unbelievable. And if you haven't followed that story, what exactly the motivations are going to be of these individuals, these alleged six people, it sounds like a movie script in the way that this attack went down. Who were these people? There's a report that one of them was an American. Why were they undertaking this activity? Who was involved? What is the internal dynamics in that country? Externally, what was the reason why people were involved? All of those are great, fascinating, interesting stories to be followed, and just a wild, Buck Sexton said on our show, Tom Clancy-like event, really worth following. All right, Conor McGregor or Poirier to win, $5 turns into $150. For everybody out there, all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Clay. That's FanDuel.com/Clay. A $5 bet pays out at 30-1 for new users. $5 turns into $150. FanDuel.com/Clay. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. Encourage you to go get your bets in. FanDuel.com/Clay. But also, perhaps more importantly, go subscribe to the podcast. Write me some funny 5-star reviews. And if you do, I will read them on the show in the next couple of days. I hope you guys have a fantastic Thursday. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. I am Clay Travis, and this has been OutKick, the show.